Penguin Random House Audio presents The Awoken by Caitlin Monroe Howes. Read for you by Sarah Naughton. Dedicated to Madden Lopez and Harper's Future World. Figure 1. A torn page from an unknown book, containing a poem. Not like the brazen giant of Greek fame, with conquering limbs astride from land to land, here at our sea-washed sunset gates shall stand a mighty woman with a torch, whose flame is the imprisoned lightning, and her name, Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome, her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor that twin cities frame. Keep, ancient lands, your storied pomp, cries she with silent lips. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Emma Lazarus. Prologue. I was 23 years old when I died. It wasn't at all what I was told dying would be like. There was no white light or harp music or warm, peaceful serenity. It was cold and dark. The worst part of dying was that darkness. In the split second before I stopped existing, I saw a dark nothingness that still haunts me to this day. How horrible it is to live our whole lives with hope, curiosity, belief, and then in one final instant, it's all ripped away. You are forced to see without a doubt that there is only emptiness on the other side. The process of dying was no picnic either. I felt every healthy cell in me wither as the cancer reveled among the ruins of a once young and functioning immune system that fought hard, but not hard enough. Dying hurt. They did tell me that it would hurt, and it did. Cancer is a real bitch. I was young and otherwise healthy. Everyone swore that I would beat this disease. Having cancer was just going to be a road bump in my long and fulfilling life that I hadn't yet truly started. People were going to proudly exclaim how I was strong and survived. But I didn't beat cancer. I lost. In my life, I did everything else mostly right. I studied, I got scholarships, I volunteered. By no means was I perfect. I got detention once. I cheated on my first boyfriend by kissing my best friend's boyfriend. I never told my parents I loved them. I am not someone who should be idolized in death as a perfect human, but I tried. It's just that I never had enough time. I really did not want to die. Loved ones of those who've passed into the darkness comfort themselves by saying, "He found peace in the end." Fuck that. I wanted life. I wanted to be 24 and 54. I wanted kids someday. And to do something, anything, to make a difference in the world. At 23, my whole life stretched out in front of me. In my mind, everything thus far had been a dress rehearsal for some real life that was yet to come. Then I was told it was over. I had lived all the life I was going to have. I wasn't ready to die because I hadn't yet lived. Before my diagnosis, I had time. Time to be an unpaid intern because I was going to run for office someday. Time to live in a crap apartment because I'd buy a penthouse when I was older. Time to drop out of college because I promised to go back. Time to break up with people I loved because I was certain I could find someone better. Time was not a concern until I had none of it left. And then I didn't even have time to grieve my own death. It's a lonely process, dying. Those I trusted to help me couldn't, The doctors, the nurses, my friends, hell, even the priests who were there in my most desperate moments. It didn't affect them, not really. I was the one rotting away in the hospital with cancer. I'm sure they all forgot about me after I was gone. Well, all but one. Max. My Max. He was my last sight, my last smell, the last good thing I felt. He loved me and I loved him more than anything. It was the most powerful thing I ever felt, and yet the easiest. I'm not so narcissistic to think that we're the only people to have this kind of love, but I know for a fact that it's rare, especially at our age, and that we were lucky. I was lucky. Even dying of cancer at 23, I was lucky to know the kind of love I had for Max. If you are to take anything away from this story, know that, above all, this is a story about love. Everything else is a distraction. I used to put my hand against Max's and watch the boundary between his olive brown skin and my pale, fragile skin melt away as we fused together. Sure, maybe that was the cancer drugs, but the hallucination materialized what I'd felt for the entire 16 months we were together. We were the same whole. He was me and I was him, and we needed each other. Of course, I needed him. I was terminal, and my parents weren't in my life, and I didn't have many friends, so I pretty much would have died on the street in the gutter without him. But he needed me too, and made sure I knew that. He didn't need anything from me, just me. Like he needed his soul, he needed me. The second worst part of dying was watching him watch me die. Nothing can break unbreakable love like cancer. In my lowest moments, I tried pushing him away. Still, he refused to leave, which made me love him even more. Horribly, like some weird cult leader with a bowl of Kool-Aid, I found myself fantasizing about Max dying with me. Death is lonely. I get why you'd want the people who love you to come along. In the end, Max did not Romeo to my Juliet and tragically take his own life on my deathbed. He did something much harder. He lived. Max held my hand when I lost the strength to hold his. As I took my last breath, he refused to look away. I was scared and conscious until the dark overtook his light. I was alone, but we were together. And for one last moment, we were parts of the same whole. That's how I, Alibine Rivers, died. I was scared, cold, and loved. Then there was darkness. Looking back on it, I know now that I lived and died entirely unaware that I wasn't the person I thought I was, the person I hoped to be, the person who actually could make a difference in the world. In fact, if I hadn't died, I don't think I ever would have become that person. So that's why I've come here all these years later. Not to tell you the story of my death. I'm here to tell you the story of what happened next. Part 1. 1. I was 124 years old when I came back to life. First, there was warmth. Not sit by the fire with a cup of hot cocoa warmth that fills your bones. This was an uncomfortable, dry heat that my soul wanted nothing to do with. It spread like poison through my parched veins. There was an incompatible opposition between this unnatural warmth and a primal cold I felt deeply embedded in the pit of my stomach. A godforsaken cold I'd never be rid of and can feel to this day. This cold is only known to other people like me, though we rarely talk about it. It's a reminder of our first lives, of our death, a scar of the darkness that can never entirely leave us. My body demanded breath, But when I opened my mouth, a fl-
Sample complete. Ready to continue?